Let me ask you a very, very important question. It's already a third of the way nearly through August. Have you yet made your summer playlist? Some of you are looking at me like you've no idea what a summer playlist is. So as many of you know, during the summer, we were on holiday in Belgium, and we had a lovely time. Thank you for asking. And while we were there, whenever we travel abroad, I love to try and listen to the radio stations from that area. And we were listening to a radio station called MNM. It's in Flemish, so we didn't understand a word. A little bit here and there. But they every now and then, they'd use a little bit of English. And they kept saying, "We are the official sound of summer." Now, I don't know who passed a law to make this Flemish radio station the official sound of summer. But they were saying they were kind of the soundtrack for our summer. And if we look at the next slide, I don't know if I can I click it on? Yes, I can. People do make summer playlists, mixtapes for those of us of a certain age. Yeah, and actually we discovered a playlist on holiday, a suitable one. Belgian classics, I recommend it to you. I've learned a few good new songs from that. So if you're not sure what to listen to while you're doing the washing up this afternoon, head to Spotify, Belgian classics. People do make playlists for the summer. We do have songs that remind us of a particular summer. I wonder if you have that. Is there a song that came out one year and you can remember a particular holiday, or maybe it was at school or at university or a new job, or you just met somebody new and that song reminds you of a particular summer? You remember it coming out. You remember singing it. It seemed that everybody was singing that song throughout the summer months. Or maybe there's a song right now that is stuck in your head that you know is always going to remind you of this particular year. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes with the person next to you. Is there a song that you can remember from a particular summer? Or if there isn't, what is the song that's going round and round in your head at the moment, whether you like it or not? But people associate songs with particular times, particular emotions. Songs get inside our heads and they get inside our hearts, don't they? They become part of us. And that's, I guess, why people make playlists like this. Well, actually, here at St. David's, we've got a playlist this summer. We have got a playlist of songs. They're not new songs. They are very old songs. And they are the Psalms. Through August, we are going to be looking at some of the Psalms. We started last week looking at Psalm 23. This morning, we're looking at Psalm 100, and we'll carry on doing it through the next few weeks. And the Psalms are, you could think of the Psalms as God's playlist. It's God's playlist that he gives to us as a soundtrack, not just for a summer, but a soundtrack for the whole of our lives. For the happy bits, for the sad bits, for the frustrated bits, for the frightened bits. This is God's playlist, his soundtrack for our lives. And of course, he keeps inspiring Christians to write new songs. We're going to think about, we're going to sing some new songs in our service this morning. But these songs in the Psalms, they're the songs he's given us to tell us about himself too. They are always true. These words are always reliable. And as I say, they're songs for every different moment of our lives. And as I say, songs stay in our heads. They become part of us. And so God has given us the Psalms so that they'll get into our heads and they'll get into our hearts and they'll become part of us. They will shape how we think, how we feel. So what about Psalm 100? What is God trying to get into our head and into our hearts from this part of his playlist, his soundtrack? I wonder what you might have noticed about it so far. We've heard it read, we've sung it. And you know how lots of the songs we sing have like a verse and then a chorus and a verse and then a chorus? If you understand what I'm saying, just stare at me blankly. That would be great. Thank you. Yeah, have you heard of verses and choruses? Yes? Sometimes songs sing a verse and a chorus. This psalm is a little bit like that. There's a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus. And it's not exactly the same words with each verse and each chorus. But have a look. if you read it carefully, you can see there's a sort of verse and chorus, because the bits in red are telling us what to do. Can you see that? Can you notice some telling us what to do words? Would anyone like to call out a telling us what to do word from the red bits? Joyful. So, yeah. Make. Brilliant. Serve. Enter. Thanks. Give. Thanks. Brilliant. Come. So those are all commands, aren't they? Well done. Those are telling us what to do words. So what sort of thing is God telling us to do? He says, make a joyful noise. I remember speaking to a family once, and they were saying, we'd love to come to church, but we're a bit worried because our children are a bit noisy. And I wish at that moment I had remembered Psalm 100, and I could have said, fantastic, because you can teach the rest of us. Because God commands us, make a joyful noise. He says, serve God with gladness. Lots of us serve God with a bit of reluctance or a bit of determination, maybe even a little bit of grumbling. Serve God with gladness. Be delighted to do what God says. Come to God singing. I don't mind if you walk through those doors on a Sunday morning singing. Honestly, I don't. Test me and see if I complain. Either as you come in or as you go out. Come to God singing. Come to him with thanksgiving and praise. Thank God and bless him. The first thing that God is wanting to get into our heads and our hearts through this part of his playlist, he says, come to me with singing and praise and thanksgiving and joyful noise. So singing praise, singing songs, whether we do that here in church, whether we do it on a car journey, whether we do it while we're washing up, whether we do it just before bedtime, whether we do it at the dinner table. It's not my idea. It wasn't Richard and the band's idea or Paul's idea. It wasn't even a church idea. God said, I want you to sing to me. I want you to make noise joyfully to me. I want you to come together and make a joyful noise and sing and praise and thank and bless. It's not a waste of time. Some of us, I know, have a real heart and a passion to do practical good to others. Praise God for that. That is also something God commands us to do. But if you ever feel, am I wasting my time by being in church when I should actually be out doing good? No, you're not. God has said, come to me and praise me. Church on a Sunday morning, our singing is not wasted time. When you're in school and you've got collective worship, it's not wasted time. If you pause in your lunch break, if you pause in the middle of your jobs at home, and you say, do you know what, I just want to listen to that particular Christian song that's been going round and round in my head, and I want to sing aloud, but while there's nobody else in the house. That is not wasting time. God says, come and sing and praise me. Now, maybe you're thinking, that's all very well, but you haven't heard me sing, Gareth. And quite deliberately, I've made sure you've never heard me sing because I never want to inflict that on anybody. You know, maybe you think, I can't hold a tune. I can never pick up the new songs when we sing them at church. And can I just draw your attention to the start of the psalm, where it says, make a beautiful song to the Lord. Does it? Does it? What does it say? All together. That was wonderful because you did it in so not all at the same time, and therefore it became a joyful noise rather than... But I know what you were saying. Make a joyful noise. Don't ever be worried in church that your singing isn't good enough, unless the only thing that you're focusing on is how nice you sound. That's the only way that you can sing to God in church and get it wrong, is to concentrate just on how you sound. God says, come and make a joyful noise, whether you're in tune or not, whether you're in time or not. Come and make a joyful noise from your heart to me in praise, because that is what I delight to hear. And if it sounds like the person next to you is not delighting to hear that, don't worry about them. They will learn. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And one more thing before we just pause. Did you notice the end of that first line? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. What's the next bit? All the earth. It doesn't say make a joyful noise to the Lord, as many people as you can fit into St. David's. It doesn't say make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of Moreton or all of Gloucestershire. All the earth. God wants absolutely everybody to be praising him. That means everybody you walked past on the street this morning, every person driving a car as you were driving here, everybody you left behind at home, everybody you spoke to this week, God wants every one of them praising him. So we've learned from our psalm that God wants us to praise him. He wants us to make a joyful noise. And he wants all the earth to be praising him. But here's an awkward question. Why? Why praise God? Now, you may come in this morning, you think, I've got a million reasons to praise God. It's a non-question, Gareth. But you might be thinking, actually, I'm not quite sure. Actually, I'm not sure I like the sound of this God who just sits there demanding that people praise him. Or actually, I've had a really awful time of it, and I'm still having an awful time of it. And the idea of praising God just feels a million miles away. So what do we do when we're not quite sure why to praise God? What do we do when we don't really feel like praising God? Well, so far, we've only looked at half of our psalm. We've just looked at the bits in red. So let's look at the other bits. Actually, I'm going to make you do some work again. Because let's have a look at the bits in black. If that's a bit small on the screen, you'll find the Bible in the seat near you. Page 604 will have Psalm 100 on it. And what I'd like you to do is just with the person next to you, or in a three if that makes more sense, how many reasons can you spot in the black letters, the black one? How many reasons does God give us just in this psalm to praise and bless and thank? He is good. God is good. Lots of people might think that God is, well, he's very powerful, but I'm not sure if he's nice, if he could be kind to me. This is a reminder, God is good. And when people are good, we like them, don't we? We like people who are good, we're drawn to them, and we quite often like telling them, I'm so pleased, I love that thing you did. It was so nice to see how good you were. We might not use words quite like that, but we say something like that. God is as good as you could possibly imagine. We can praise him just for being good. Fantastic. Fantastic. If you think there's nothing to praise God for, you can remember that you're alive and praise him for that. And I'm going to put some words into your mouth. Is that because you're looking at the bit about it's he who made us? Fantastic. You had no choice but to nod at that point, did you? Brilliant. Yeah. He made us. How amazing is God that out of nothing, he could make every person in this room. Just have a look round. God did this. I hope that means you want to praise him rather than you're now. Yeah? God made us. We belong to him. He deserves us because he's made us. And as you say, if it weren't for him, we would not be alive. We can always praise him for that. Okay. His faithfulness to all generations. So we've had, he is good. We've had his faithfulness. He made us. Even when we are going through tough times. We were thinking last week, Psalm 23, with those famous words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. Even if we really are struggling, this psalm is a reminder that God is faithful. And even if we're struggling to see how God is being faithful, it's a reminder that he is. And we can praise him. We can say, God, I am really struggling. I barely want to get up in the morning. I'm not sure I want to be able to get up tomorrow morning. But I know that you are faithful. And I praise you that even when I don't like me anymore, you still love me. We can praise God for that. He is good. He is faithful. He has made us. We are his people. His love endures forever. Fantastic. In fact, that reminds me, those of us who were at the wedding yesterday, we would be reminded of what God's love is like. As you know, it was loyal, opulent, victorious, and eternal, I seem to remember. Eternal. His love goes on forever. God doesn't just say, I will love you until Tuesday, so make the most of it, but come Wednesday, you're on your own. He doesn't just say, I love you as long as you keep your nose clean, but you do anything wrong and I'm out of here. That's not what God is like, is it? God doesn't say, I love you until you're very, very ill, and then I'm going to go and be with some more successful people. People who can do more for me. Sometimes I think we worry about that. I've spoken to a number of people who are getting a bit older in life, and they think, I can't do anything anymore. Do you know God loves you every bit as much because he didn't need what you were doing for him in the first place? He loves you. His love is eternal. And God doesn't say, I will love you until you die. He says, I will love you in eternity. I will love you through death. In fact, the reason you can come through death is precisely because of my love for you in the Lord Jesus, if you are trusting in me. He deserves our praise for being good. He deserves our praise for being who he is. He deserves our praise because he made us. He deserves our praise because we are his people. He is a shepherd to us. Not just as he made us, but in Jesus, he has come and rescued us. He has dealt with the sin that made a big gap, a barrier, a wall between us and him that we had put there. He has taken that away by dying for us on the cross. And if we're trusting in him, it's not just that he made us, but that he has adopted us. He said, I want you in my family. Not just a servant in my household, I want you as my son and my daughter. We belong to him. We can praise him for that. Always, always, always praise him for that. And he will be faithful, as Vaughan was saying, to all generations. I know that there will be people in our church family who are anxious about a generation in your family. You will be anxious about your children or your grandchildren because they don't seem yet to be worshipping God. You may be anxious about your parents or your grandparents because they don't seem yet to be worshipping God. Keep praying, because we have a faithful God. We don't know what will happen, but we can keep praying and trusting his faithfulness. We have lots of reasons to praise God. Most of all, that in Jesus, he has offered us the chance to become part of his family. And all those things are true when we're feeling happy, and they're all true when we're feeling awful. We can always come to God. We can always praise him, even when that's really hard to do. And one more thing before we pause. Remember we said he wants all the earth to praise him, all the earth to make a joyful noise? If God deserves our praise because he made us, he deserves the praise of everybody he made. He deserves it. One of the reasons that we want to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with other people, partly it's for their benefit, that they may know Jesus, the life that comes in him, the forgiveness and the hope. But it's also because God deserves their praise. And at the moment, he is not getting it. And we want God to receive more and more praise because that's what he deserves. And we'll think a little bit more about that as we come into the autumn and Passion for Life.